And the thing is, that first song is so powerful. And the thing is that the song, The Blessing, it can be taken in a wrong way, in a sense that that's the way that we should be praying, but it's not. It's so powerful because it has been fulfilled. It's been fulfilled in Jesus. And that's what's so exciting to me. All of it. All of it. And it's amazing. Anyway, Ernestine, I really like that scripture you read out of Joshua. It goes right along with my word. Maybe you ought to, I know you put up the scriptures and stuff as we go along. Maybe you ought to put that one up. I think that was wonderful. But today, I tell you what I'd like to do, start out with. I'd like to pray. I need to pray because there's nothing I can do. I need the Holy Spirit to do it. Thank you, Lord. I know, Lord, that your gifts and callings are without repentance. Doesn't matter whether we ever yield to it or not, they are always there. Always there. Always the calling is there, whether we ever obey it or not. And thank you, Lord. But the thing is, Lord, I just want to bow my heart to you. Holy Spirit, I just ask you to come and pour out, Lord, your ministry. Your ministry. This is not my words, Lord. None of this came from me. And I just want to get out of the way. Because I know what you want to encourage your people. Draw them near to Jesus. They might behold him. Thank you, Father. I just yield to you, Holy Spirit. Just yield to you afresh and anew right now. Lord, I just ask for special anointing for hearts to be able to hear, yield to you, be open to you, that you can do all that's in your heart to do today. And to anyone that hears this later, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, I've been talking for years, I guess now, but about doing a series on releasing the spirit, harvest, harnessing the soul, bring it into submission to the spirit, and releasing the power of the spirit. Something the Lord taught me 50 years ago, and I desperately needed it. So this might be like an introductory to that. But when the Lord first began to speak to me about what I was to speak on, it was like setting your heart to seek and setting your heart to hear. Setting your heart to hear, setting your heart to seek. And it was connected to what the Lord spoke to me about concerning this year. This year, there's so many things going on, not just in our country, but in the world. And there are forces at work that want to destroy. You know, they just want, their forces at work, they just want to destroy, period. You know, John 10:10 says, the thief comes but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life. That's the God kind of life. I've come that you might have life, and that you'd have it in abundance. And so there are forces at work in this world, spiritual forces at work within people that want to destroy. And they're going to be at work doing it. But God has a plan too. You know, the enemy has a plan, but God has a big plan. But it's going to require us to be setting our hearts to hear. But we have to know how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we learn how to hear him? Because see, the Lord is speaking every minute of every day. And most people don't realize that because I've come across people, you know, I used to travel a lot, travel around the world, and I've come across people that would say, I've never heard it. I mean, I've come across people here today. I've never, people that are spirit filled, I have never heard him. Never heard him. And you know, when I used to, and I'll do it again, but I used to do these series of trainings on the prophetic. And it basically really came down to teaching people how to hear his voice. It's what it's really about. And it really transformed people's lives. And I began to see why the Lord had me doing it after a little while. And that's what it was about, so that people could draw near to him and they could hear his voice. And I would hear people say, I've never heard his voice. But the word says that my sheep know my voice. And people, does that mean I'm not a sheep? I said, no. It means that you don't know how, you just don't know how to train yourself to hear it. You don't know how to recognize it. You don't know how to recognize his voice. And that's what I would teach people. But this is why it's important for us to hear. And I'm going to share some things today. It's going to be important for you to hear this year. It's going to be important for you to know how to hear. You know, I've been teaching my family for past 2 years now. Been teaching them the word, and I've been encouraging them. I'm going to be with them again today at 2 o'clock on Zoom. And I have been encouraging them, you know, you must be born again. You must be filled with the Holy Ghost, and you must learn to pray in the Spirit a lot. And many things that I have learned is because I pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. And I want to read some scriptures to you. Most of what I read is going to be in the English Standard Version, the ESV, but some of this, the first one's going to be in the King James. Anyway, in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3, it says, if then you be raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things that are above, not on the things that are of this earth. For you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And so that takes us to Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. In the ESV, it says, do you not know that as many of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That's what water baptism is about. It's like a you identifying that you have been baptized into his death. We were baptized, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Coming up out of that water, we've come up out of that water risen with him. Risen with, like raising from the dead into newness of life, a new life. And that was my experience too. In newness of life, 1 Chronicles 22, 19. Now set your mind and heart to seek the Lord, your God. Arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God, so that the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God may be brought into a house built for the name of the Lord. I tell you, everything in the Old Testament is about redemption, and it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about redemption. It's about what we just did earlier about taking communion, because he says, set your mind and your heart to seek the Lord. Arise and build this sanctuary. We are that sanctuary. The presence, all this is about building the sanctuary for the presence of the Lord. All these articles, all these things about the redemption for the presence of the Lord. We are that sanctuary now. We are the dwelling place of the Lord. We are the dwelling place of the Lord. But we live, most of us live out of our soul so much we don't even recognize the fact that we are a spirit being. We're a spirit being. But he says, set your mind and your heart to seek the Lord. Now, why would he say that? He could have just said, rise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God, so that the ark of the Lord would come. He could have said all of that. But first he says, set your mind and your heart to seek the Lord your God. These are people who are not born again. They don't have the Holy Spirit. But these people would go to whatever extremes they needed to seek the Lord, they separated themselves unto him completely, depended on him for their every need. And they would hear from the Lord. Psalms 85:8. Now, I'm not clear on this. I don't know that David was the author of this. He's not the author of every psalm, but it says here in King James says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Notice that in there, the Lord is all capitalized. That means El Shaddai. It's interpreted from El Shaddai. It says all capital Lord. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. He didn't say, I'm hoping to hear. He said, I will hear. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. There's a faith in that. There's a confidence. I know if I draw aside, I'm going to hear, because I know he's going to speak to me. And that's how I feel. That's how I feel. I don't go to the word to get knowledge. I'll go to the word to be with Jesus. I said something to somebody one time. I said, well, me and Jesus are going to meditate the word. And they said, well, Jesus doesn't need to meditate the word. I said, well, he sure enjoys doing it with me. Because I'm just the only reason, I'm not a good reader. I'm not healed yet I haven't manifested anything from dyslexia. So reading is not my favorite thing. I can't spell worth a flip. I had to speak words into my phone so I can see how it's spelled. Simple things, So me and Jesus meditate the word. We meditate the word. And every time I go to the word, I hear from him. Not just in the word, I see the word, but he's speaking to me. He'll stop me and start talking to me about the word. And I love that. And that's what he wants for all of you. It's important that we hear from the Lord, because we're going to need to make decisions. You already do need to make decisions throughout your life. And you don't want to wait until there's a crisis. Man, I need to hear from the Lord. Let me go to, I need to call Pastor Ernestine. Well, he wants to speak to you. I've had people want to get a hold of me, give me a word from the Lord. Well, he wants me to teach people how to hear from the Lord. My job isn't to go give everybody a prophetic word. My job is to train people up. The word says that The fivefold ministry of the apostles and the prophets and the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists are for the equipping of the saints so that you can do the work of the ministry, so that you can hear, so that you can hear. So anyway, that's just to get started right there. But I'll tell you what, I was so caught up in reading the word. We've been following, we got started late, but we've been following along with Andrew. You can go to his website. You can sign up for reading through the Bible. He'll give you the whole thing. But we started real late, so we started from the beginning, started reading. We couldn't stop. It was just, Kathy read so far ahead. I told her she was cheating. But anyway, I said, honey, you just go read all you want to your heart's content. You know, she just loves the word. But let's go to Matthew 13. See, the important part here is that your heart is open right now, because I believe the Lord wants to take you to a new level. I believe that the Lord wants to encourage your hearts so much and challenge your hearts to draw near to Him. You know, in James 4 says, draw near unto God and He will draw near unto you. Now, who draws first? You do. You know, we draw near unto Him and He will draw near unto us. He will draw near unto us. He's always here. I mean, He's right here. He's right here at your face. He's right here. And He's always speaking. He's always speaking. Always speaking. I remember one time I was teaching on the prophetic, and there was a young lady. I won't mention her name because some of you know her. Maybe some of you know her. And she came, and she hadn't been to church in 15 years. But she was doing great. I mean, I told her that's why she was doing so good. But she hadn't gone to church in 15 years, and she got real fed up with where she'd been going, all the stuff that goes on sometimes at a church. And she loved the Lord. And she'd heard about the prophetic and things like that, but she'd never seen it. And she came, and we were doing, you know, I do workshops at the end of the teachings. And I think it was the first workshop, and I had a lady, I brought her up to the front and had her sitting in a chair. And the Lord spoke to me and said, call up this young lady. And so I did. I had her come up and stand behind her, and she was a little bit nervous. And I said, you know, you just ask the Lord to reveal to you, pray in the Spirit, and He'll reveal to you. He'll show you something. And I mean to tell you, this late young lady, she'd never done it. She'd never heard of this. I mean, she'd heard it. She'd never seen this done. And she just had more information. I mean, I was just jealous. She knew the lady's address. I mean, she could tell you things about her husband. She didn't know the woman. And it was just an amazing gift that this young lady had hidden down in there that just came out. And her confidence grew in the Lord, not in herself. She's very humble. And, you know, by the end of that period of time that we went through, she came to me one time. She said, I just wanted you to know, after that first session, I began to go out onto the front porch, and I would sit in the porch swing, and I would have these long conversations with Jesus, because I didn't realize I could just have conversations with Him. He would talk to me, and I would talk to Him. She said, now I do it every night. Every night I just go out. After I finished all my duties and cleaned up, I just go out on the front porch, sit and talk with Jesus for 2 or 3 hours. That's how He wants that. He wants that kind of relationship. That's what He wants with you. It's so important, because it's leading to something. See, that's a step. It's leading to something else, because what He really wants is intimacy. See, He wants you to get to know Him that way, and wants to get you to know you that way, because He wants to have intimacy with you. Because when He has intimacy with you, then you don't want anybody else. You don't want it. anything to do with the world. The world can't please you anymore. A new car, diamond rings, lots of money. That's fun, but it's not him. You just want to be with him. Let's go to Matthew 13. I'm trying to, in a way, I'm trying to be conscious of the time, and in another way, I'm trying to forget that. Let's go do this. So, okay. Parable of the sower. Let me wet my whistle a minute. This is really important right here. This is fun. This was part of our reading that we were doing with Andrew, but the Lord spoke to me. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered around him, so that he got into a boat, sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, you know what? The first time I read that, I thought, well, that's a one-time event. You get it or you didn't get it. No, that's not true. That's all the time. Did you hear that word or did you not hear that word? Was your the soil of your heart ready to hear the word? Or was your heart stony? That's how you have to prepare your heart. Or is your heart prepared to hear? Is your heart prepared to seek? So let's move on, verse 10. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, this is it right here. Now he's talking to them, but he's also talking to you and me. To you guys and me. To you, it has been given to know. It's been given to you to know. The secrets, the mysteries, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, revelation of the word, understanding in the word. But to them, it has not been given. You ever wonder why people want to, and people that don't know the Lord and they want to argue about things in the word, some crazy stuff, and they want to drag you into it. Well, they don't know. They don't have eyes to see, don't have ears to hear. So don't let them drag you into it. I'm real sure about that. I always tell them, I tell you what, you go read the four Gospels in the book of Acts, you come back and talk to me. And they don't want to do that. And I'm telling you, I'm rude. I'm not, what do you call it, a apologist. You people that can just do that. Talk to them like, I know me. Hey, you don't want to do that? Enjoy hell. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, so he told them, to you it's been given to know. Okay, verse 12. For to the one who has, more will be given. There's no end to his understanding. People get a revelation about something. I got it. No, you didn't. You just got some. There's no end to his understanding. I remember when I got the revelation of spirit, soul, and body. I remember when it landed in in my heart so much. I'm telling you, it changed my entire life. I got it. And it was amazing. And the Lord said to me real quick, there's more. That's what he said. And he's done that many times. I remember when I got incredible revelation of I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it was powerful. And he said, there's more. There's more to that revelation than you have. And I mean, I had so much that it became a weapon. I mean, I've done spiritual battles for people who were caught up in demonic things and have been attacked by demons. And when the Lord revealed to me what it was, it kind of caught me off guard. Who were they? I mean, I got my eyes on. This came up into my face, and I said, "What is that?" "Oh, that's the demon over so and so city, and they think they came here to intimidate you." Well, I love a fight. I used to love to fight, so I said, "Oh, is that right?" "Well, they just don't know who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I mean that." When they realize I know who I am, they're gone. They are running, and I'm running after them, trying to catch them because I'm calling them what they are, So you get a revelation, it becomes a weapon in your hand. But the Lord says, there's more. There's no end to his understanding. There's no end to it. So never stop. He's always going to show you more. He said, to the one who has, more will be given. And he will have it in abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. People have stumbled on that. But a good friend of mine who is a theologian told me one time, he said, the best way to interpret scripture is by scripture. It will explain itself. So when we get, as we're going to go a little bit further along, and it's going to explain that part right there of verse 12. From the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. We're going to see the answer to that. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear. That's why the world stumbles on stuff like that, and they want to attack you with it, what they stumble on. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, yours, your spiritual eyes. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. And you might say, well, I'm not seeing it. I'm not hearing it. Well, you will. You will. You will, because it's in you. See, he's given you. He's put it in you. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. It's in there, but because we've always lived out of our soulish part, and we've lived among people who have done the same thing. We've gone to, we've been under pastors, or we've been under, I mean, I know I've been to those churches. We've been under denominational pastors. I mean, I've been to asked to, I used to play musical instruments. You'd be these little quartets. And we used to go before I was born again, but the Lord would be speaking to me anyway. And we'd go to play at certain churches like the Episcopal, and I never hear him talk about God, ever. Never talk about Jesus. But you see, they're all living out of their soul. And even when they places where they did talk about the Lord, They were talking about things that had been passed down. It's like the traditions of man may not affect the word of God. So we've all been taught things that are not true and taught things that don't give us life, but we've been given to understand. We've been given to see and to hear. We just haven't activated. It's been given to you to know the mysteries, know the secrets, to know, to have revelation in the word, and not only have it, but have it in abundance. So, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, because they hear. For truly I say, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now, here we go. Verse 18 is going to explain what I just told you about in verse 12. That what they, and I'm sorry for that thumb coming up. But anyway, sorry. Verse 12, where it said, and what they have will be taken away. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, God didn't take it away. The evil one comes and snatches what has been sown in his heart. See? See that? This is what was sown on the path. Remember what I said, John 10, 10? The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. The evil one comes and snatches what he has, what has been sown in his heart. The evil one can come and snatch what's been sown in your heart. That's why you got to meditate the word. That's what was sown along the path. And as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. See, you're not coming under some kind of attack or a bad thing happening because of you. It's because of the word. The enemy's after the word because he knows that the word can get in your heart, and you, and if you will meditate the word will bear fruit, and it will destroy the enemy. The word can bear fruit and grow into a big tree and be a shelter for you and your whole home and everybody around you. Then the enemy can't get in. He's scared to death of the word. He's scared to death of what you will grow into. So he got to come and steal that word. He's got to get you to he's got to get you to fall away. He's got to get you to reject it. He's got to get you to not choose the word. He wants you to choose the circumstances. He's got to get you to choose, well, I must be, I'm that age now. I'm there, so I need to prepare myself. That's where I'm at. No, don't receive that. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who bears the word. I'm sorry, hears the word. But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. It's the cares of the world. What am I going to wear? How am I going to make a living now? This is being taken away. The deceitfulness of riches. Well, I don't have to worry about that. I'm not rich. No. It's the deceitfulness of riches. It's the love of money. I've got to figure out a way to make more money. How am I going to make these ends meet? I'm only getting this much a month now. What am I going to do? Well, I'm going to cast my cares over onto the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. I made up my mind a long time ago. A lot of people called me foolish. I didn't care. I've been foolish before on the wrong reason. I messed my back up working. And so they declared me disabled and wouldn't, I couldn't, could work. So I was on disability. And I was still drawing some plans every now and then, but I really wasn't making any money. But I really had a heart to sow. I don't like the law. I don't like the tenth, the tithing. No, not for me. Too restrictive. I don't like it. Never have. So, I'm always asking the Lord, what can I do? Well, one day, and I never take my checkbook anywhere, one day I was getting ready to go to church, and I'd helped start this church in Chapel Hill, and it grown. We started in a little living room. It'd grown to about 1,200 people, and they're not the same church anymore. But anyway, the Lord said, I was getting ready to go. The Lord said, take your checkbook. I never took it anywhere. So I never wrote checks. I just take your checkbook. So I took it. And I got to church. We had this very large lobby, we had a coffee shop there, and there's tables and all this stuff. Now I'm there real early. And so I said, well, what am I doing with my checkbook? And he says, sit down. I want you to write some checks. And I mean, okay. And I want you to write a check for 200. I mean, I didn't have much in there. I mean, I knew I had less than $1,000 to my name. Write $250 check to the youth project for this. Okay. We'll write a $300 check to this project. And write another check for $400. And I'm going, okay, I'm writing these checks, Lord, and whatever, I'm going to do what you said, but anything bounces, that's your problem. That's not my problem. That's the way I work. When I go to the grocery store, I'm not buying the grocery store brand of anything. I'm going to buy the best stuff they got. I'm not looking to see how much stuff costs. I don't do any of that. I said, Lord, your job is to take care of me. And I believe you're my provider and you provide well for me. I'm not going to worry about it. I know you're going to take care of me. And it's amazing how the Lord blessed the fact that I'm just going to put my trust in him. And I always had more than enough to give. And I never, I, if somebody said, don't you want to sit down and figure out how that works? No, I know how it works. Works by faith. That's all I can tell you. Because black and white, it don't work. It goes into the red if you try to figure it out. But see, this deceitfulness of riches is not just about riches. It's about, do you trust it? Now, as for the what? Let me back up just a second. Being concerned about the cares of this world and deceitful riches, it chokes the word. Even the word that you do get into your heart, it'll choke it. Because your attention went from the word into this stuff over here. You took it away from the word and went over to this concerns. Well, isn't that being responsible? The best way to be responsible is to meditate the word and put all of your trust in him. David said, I will put my trust in you, Lord. I mean, that jumped off the page to me the first time I read it. And I got it. I got it, Lord. I'm going to take my trust like it's, I can put it in my hand, and I'm going to put it in you. And I'm going to take my hands off of it now. So I can't take it back. I'm putting it in you. And every time, an old man who passed away now, Arthur Burt, you should call him Arthur, Uncle Arthur. He passed away at 102 in 2014. And he used to travel with Smith Wigglesworth, if you ever heard of him. Great man of God that did signs and wonders. Well, Arthur Burt, Uncle Arthur once said, for every revelation, you'll get a situation. to test and see if it's yours, but the enemy's going to try to take it from you. And you know, you put your trust in him, but then something will come up. Is your trust still in him? You put your trust in him. Then you keep it there and you meditate the word. You meditate on how good he is. But as for the what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word, understands it. There you go. He hears the word. I got to plug up this computer. It says it don't want to run no more for me. That's the wrong cable. He hears the word and understands it. See, when you go to the word to hear, not go to the word to learn. I don't go to the word to learn. I go to the word to hear. I want to hear what the Lord El Shaddai would say. I go to the word to be with Jesus every time. When I go to reading through the Bible in 1 year with Andrew, I'm so excited. I got so excited reading about in the first chapter of Genesis. I was ready to shout. I'm telling you, I discovered that God has been doing signs and wonders from Genesis 1:1. Signs and wonders. He's still doing it. He's been doing it since then. And it gave me such joy. I turned to Kathy and I said, he's going to do another one right here with you, baby. Signs and wonders and miracles. Anyway, I just want to throw that in. We can understand if blessed is that one, you know. And this last one is good soil. All we got to do is prepare our heart. And you do that by yielding your heart to him and getting all the other junk out of the way. Allow him to come and take stuff out of there. Unforgiveness, ain't got time for that. We don't have time for it. It doesn't matter if somebody else is, you're right and somebody else is wrong. It's not about who's right or wrong. It's about whose right is it to rule in your heart. That belongs to Jesus. He's the one that's earned it. He's earned it. He's earned that right. It's his right to rule in your heart. You got to release that other person that wronged you, no matter what, how bad it was, because it's holding you back. It's holding you back from intimacy with Jesus. So you can't go forward with this relationship when you're holding something on to this other relationship. Now, maybe you hate this other person over here and you're holding something against this person over here. Maybe this past husband or wife committed adultery on you, or maybe this person over here raped you or whatever. You're going to bring all that into this new relationship? You're bringing disaster. You're going to repeat the same thing. I've done marriage counseling. I'm telling you. I've seen this happen 100 times. You're going to try to bring all this hurt and unforgiveness into an intimacy with Jesus? It won't work because you can't have it, intimacy with Jesus. You got to lay everything at his feet. You got to lay everything at his feet. That's what you do. And that's how you get to this point where your soil of your heart can be ready. You yield everything to him. All you got to do is be good dirt. That's all you got to be. You ain't got to be special. I am not a smart man. He made me that way. Me and Kathy were praying the other night. I don't know how long ago it was. We were praying together. I prayed together every night. I said, Lord, you are definitely going to confound the wise because you sure picked a foolish thing here because I am not very smart. And all the things you said you was going to do through me, that is going to confound the wise. That's going to be amazing. and you just go and do what you want to do, because I'm just going to yield to you. All I want to do is be good dirt. That's all you got to do, be good dirt. That's what it says right there. And for the one that's sown in good soil and good dirt, the one that's yielded, that's all it is, being yielded, not smart, not intelligent, not wise, not know-it-all. The one that's good dirt is the one who hears the word, understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case a hundredfold, and another 60, and then another 30. This is repeatable over and over and over and over again. Give you an example in the natural. Before Israel came back to the land of Israel, before the nation came back to the land of Israel, the people, that place was barren. It was like a desert. When they came back, it became fertile soil again. This is crazy. It became a fertile soil. And you know how, I don't know if you know this, but in the West, or wherever Nebraska, Iowa, and all those areas where they grow a lot of wheat, they might harvest twice in a season. In Israel, they can harvest 12 times off of one planting, 12 times, because it's blessed, because they moved back onto their own land. They did. And this is a picture of what this scripture is all about. All you got to do is be good soil. That's a choice. That's not asking the Lord to bless your heart to be good soil. He's already made it good soil. So he's already presented you way back up here. To you, it has been given to know, to understand. It's already been given. What do you mean it's been given? He put Jesus in there. He gave you the Holy Ghost. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you get up. I mean, I don't care if you do it over the telephone. I've seen people filled with the Holy Ghost over the telephone. I've cast out demons over the telephone with a whisper. Sorry about the thumb. But I mean, it's there. Listen, there's more power in you than you realize. I'm not some super duper anointed. I'm just filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you got the same thing. But I just realized who I was, and we had a kind of a distant family member that realized she had demons. She was hearing voices and was telling them to put a pistol to her head and kill herself, and she kept hearing all this stuff. And she was into a bad, some bunch of bad stuff. And I told her, I said, "Well, I'm willing to do this, but if you don't repent, that demon will go get seven worse than themselves and come back." She said she would. I said, "Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, this is how powerful God is. Not me. I'm going to whisper, and I'm going to rebuke that demon, and he'll never speak to you again." And that's what I did. I just whispered. And bam, it was gone. That's it. Nothing special about me. I just found out who I was. Go get yourself filled with the Holy Ghost. Get a hold of Pastor Ernestine. You can do it over the telephone. You can do it over Zoom. You can do it in person and begin to speak in tongues. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Let go of your pride. "Oh, I don't know. Oh, I got a daughter this way. I don't know. But how if I do it? Well, I feel stupid." You are stupid if you don't speak in tongues. And so I told her, I said, "We get off of here. You need to go somewhere. Go get in your closet. Lock yourself in there and just start." Kathy said, "No, you're going to do it right now." Kathy got up in here, started speaking in tongues. I love my wife. Anyway, so I don't know what time it is. Let's see. Oh, I got some time. Let's go. So let me go down here where I was. Where was I? I think I was at the end of that part. I think that's an awesome thing right there. See, here's the thing. I'm going to give you a little story. I got in sales one time, and they said that one guy said, he was a very successful salesman because he was so honest. He was a Christian man, and he was very simple in his approach. He didn't have all these gadgets and sayings and videos. He says, "You can bring all the facts you want to. Facts tell, but stories sell." And man, my bells went off. I said, "Testimonies. Testimonies. They land." See, a testimony is one of the most powerful things. Because what can happen when you give a testimony? Here's what can happen. You can have a vision when I give a testimony, and you don't even realize it's a vision. Because what happens is the Lord accesses your imagination and you can behold it in your heart. I've seen people, I have seen heathens. I've seen murderers. When I'm given a testimony, I've seen the light come on in their eyes and Jesus come into their heart because of a testimony. And the Lord access their heart. See, that's how powerful it is. Now I'm going to give you something. Back in the 70s, I was born again in 73, and I'm trying to remember the year. I think it was 75. I went through a lot of bad things here for a good decade or more. And I was married when I was born again to the, I wound up calling her the Wicked Witch of the East. It was a pretty rough family over there. I mean, her mother took out a contract on me. But I was a pretty rough customer myself, so when they figured out who it was, they didn't want no part of me. But anyway, I was, I was alone. We busted up and everything, but I was going through some bad things, and I immediately was hearing the Lord when I got born again because I'd been hearing voices a lot anyway. I was already having problems with demons. So when I began to hear the Lord, it was not a surprise, but the sweetness of his voice, the love in it was, I haven't gotten over it and I don't want to. But with all the things that were going on in my life, it became a little more difficult to hear, and it was time for me to grow. And so it wasn't like he was, it was like it was time for me to grow, and he wasn't going to spoon feed me like that all the time. And I needed to press in. And I had an incredible pastor that the Lord sent to us, just sent to us out of the blue. And we were meeting in an old building out in the worst part of town because, no church wanted anything to do with us. And so, because of me, really. But anyway, I was struggling, and I told this pastor, who was really young. I mean, he's like 31 years old. I was 23. So wise. He spent 7, 8 hours a day before the Lord. This man, he taught me about, he's the one to begin, got me started on quieting my soul, quieting my heart. Psalm 62 says, David says, yeah, I might have to look that up before I misquote something. I don't want to mess it up for y'all. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. And in the King James, truly my soul waits upon God. One version says, I will quiet my heart within me. I will say to my soul, be still. Maybe in that chapter somewhere. And this pastor began to teach me about that because my soul was all worked up. You know, and by this time, I had a couple of baby girls. You know, that I just, you know, just had this ideal of what family was supposed to be like. Now that I'm born again and I knew the love of God, and all of a sudden I had a whole new, I was in this newness of life, and I could have a, I had like a vision of what family should be. You know, it was for the Lord, and this, you know, this demonized, estranged wife, she wanted no part of that. She'd seen the signs and wonders that was going on around us, and she didn't want any part of that. And had two little baby girls, and she wanted them away from me, and they were away from me. And all that was breaking my heart. But he was telling me all of that. Not that it wasn't important, but it was distracting. And it was keeping me from what I needed to be, was intimate with him, with Jesus. And he began to teach me some things and some techniques that I needed to work on. So I did. So I began to quiet my soul. I would go and get by myself, and I was super type A. I mean, I'd started working, you know, as a carpenter's helper, and you know, with an old World War II vet. You know, I was always around World War II or World War I people. Very, I mean, this is a different kind of people. You don't mess around. You know, I mean, it's sort of like all the people I'd been around anyway, but that's just a rough bunch of people. You just, they came out of war. They, you know, you don't play. Anyway, but I learned the trade, and I was a type A, and it's, I mean, I'm like, you're gonna lead or you're gonna get out of my way, and I'm gonna lead. So that's the way I was. And so I was not good with sitting still. And so I had to sit still and tell my soul to be still. And it was amazing to me how active my, how I recognized my soul was like a different entity. A little spooky. I taught this class. I taught a class one time. Daniel Amstutz out in Paris Bible College in Colorado asked me to take a class one day. No notice. Just asked me to take a class, teach a class. He had to go somewhere. And, you know, he wanted to record it and he wanted it recorded. So I taught the class. I taught him on this. And it, sit and speak to your soul. And you tell it to be still. And you're going to quiet your heart before the Lord. And I'm telling you, that was a battle. And day by day, I would do it. I mean, I would sit there, and that soul did not want to be still because I wanted to quiet my soul because I wanted to hear from the Lord. Basically, you're quieting your soul. Your soul wants to battle. It doesn't want to be quiet. But see, if you quiet your soul and bring it into submission to your spirit, man, it releases your soul into what it was really created to be and do. It's a fight. And so, especially if you're type A like me. And so it was a battle. I mean, I'd sit there for 2 or 3 hours. I dedicated 2 or 3 hours to do it every day, every day. And for 2 or 3 weeks, I mean, I wanted to, I was a good thing I was by myself because I wanted to fight every single day. I'd be so mad. I wanted to fight somebody. But anyway, I finally began to win. And but what would happen is I began to quiet my soul, and all these thoughts would come up of things I had been wanting to remember. They would come up, and people would say, "Well, you should write that down." No, that's what it wants me to do. I'm not doing it. So it wants me to write that down. No, the Lord can remind me later. I am not going to submit to that. It's going to submit to me. And I know this sounds funny, but this is what it happened. But this is what happened. Y'all need to hear this. After, for me, it was many weeks, many. Little by little, I began to harness my soul and bring it into submission to my spirit. So much so. But I was in the Word so much because I started going to a Bible college up in Burlington. It was an excellent, excellent school. And I would come home from class every day, and I'd spend 2 to 3 hours by myself. And I began to quiet my soul pretty quick. And the Lord began to speak. And it was a different, it was an entirely different softness, tenderness, and quietness of his voice. It was a very much quieter. It got to where I could quiet my soul as soon as I sat down on my bed. I mean, it got to where I didn't have to say it. I mean, I would say, "Soul, be still." It got to where I could just sit down and close my eyes, and it was still. Because it enjoyed being still, because it came into submission to the Spirit, and it was blessed. It was blessed because it came into agreement. It came into agreement. I could sit down, and immediately I would hear that still small voice, and the Lord, it became intimate, very, very intimate. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is my secret place. I don't share this with anyone except for those that are willing to shut everything out and quiet their soul." And then began to just, all the questions that I would have, he would answer them one by one. I mean, bam, 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 bam. And I could ask him things right there, and he'd talk to me right now and share things with me. I mean, he would share mysteries with me that I don't know how to put words to now. But he was so intimate with me, share his love with me in such depths that it began to change me. I mean, all the hurt that I was going through with not being able to see my children, all that stuff bounced off of me. I mean, the enemy, he was trying to destroy me through this because the Lord had plans for me. I've been hearing it every time I came across a prophet. They spoke the same kind of stuff all the time. And I got tired of hearing that. You know, because every time they spoke it, I got another attack, you know. So, but this time spent with Jesus was so intimate. It was beyond normal. And it got to where no matter where I was, I could, you know, like right now, I can just hear him anytime now. Now, but I got to go get still. I can't be with y'all. I can't. Like sometimes I'll be sharing, I just need to go. You might hear me say, I need to go get alone. I don't want to go. I want to go be with him. That's how it is. I'm reading the word. I'm meditating the word. I just got to close my eyes a minute. Just go listen to him a minute. That's what he wants for you. He wants people that are willing to be intimate with him. That's what all this is leading to. Because if you can get yourself to be intimate in the word with him, and then draw aside and bring your soul into submission. You don't have to be very old in the Lord. You got to remember, I was very young in the Lord at this time. I mean, I wasn't, what, maybe 2 years. Maybe 2 years in the Lord. I hadn't read the whole Bible. I'd only read portions. I would not read 1 Corinthians. I'd already had troubles of my own. I didn't want to hear about all the craziness that was going on. I first started reading Corinthians. I'm putting that down. I got my own problems. Man, took me out. I mean, it was years before I read 1 Corinthians. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I ain't got, I ain't, hey, no, I ain't reading that. So anyway, you don't have to be, you don't have to be, you don't have to know anything. You don't have to know anything to begin to quiet your soul and bring it into submission to your spirit. You just have to not give up because he's for you and you will grow. And what I want to start to do at some point is to teach on it and then have workshops. But it's the same thing you can do with the word. You approach the word to hear him speak. When I was just reading through this, he stopped me and said, I want you to share this. I want you to talk about when I saw this at the front right here. Oh my goodness. And to you, it has been given. He stopped me right there. That's it. That's what I want you to tell him. To you, it has been given. Now, one of the things he's going to ask one day, what did you do with what I gave you? I don't know anybody that I've ever heard talk about the love of God better than Pastor Ernestine. I've heard many. And the only one that I know that would compare would be Arthur Menchez. Told him one time, I said, I'm calling you the apostle of the love of God. Because he got a revelation about it too. But Pastor Ernestine, I mean, I'm still meditating on that message she gave several weeks ago. I don't know how long it was now, but I'm still benefiting from it. Steve Humphrey out in California, he still talks about it. He's benefiting from it. He's ministering from it. And that's what we do when we hear. We know there's more. We know. That's what we got to do. The Lord's going to say, what did you do with that word? What are you doing with these opportunities I'm giving you? Don't just check the box. Don't be like those that have just checked the box, because I'm giving you some opportunities. I'm giving you some opportunities. There are opportunities going on around you for you to see signs and wonders. Oh, that's not me. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You can see the light come on in someone's eyes. You can see it. I was locked up in a cell in California, wrongfully accused, just set up, completely set up. And by people in, by the ex, demon-possessed mother, I had it, whole thing set up, paid off a judge and the DA of Wake County were all paid off. They all caught it though. They got caught. But I was in jail in California up in the mountains there in Tuolumne County, Sonora, California. Very nice jail, by the way. But anyway, and they had me in a cell block with two guys. And there was another cell block that had big, it had a lot of people, but these two guys were bad guys, you know, because I was accused of some bad stuff. And these two guys were bad. I mean, they were, I mean, I know what bad guys are. I used to be a bad guy. But these were bad guys. I mean, they were murderers and stuff, and they were young guys. And I was a young guy at the time, I guess. They were a little bit younger than me. And I'm in there, and I said, well, you know, the Lord spoke to me while I was on the way. I said, Lord, what is going on? Got my hands are cuffed behind my back, and I'm in the back of a squad car. And my children saw it, saw me getting locked up, carried away, my little girls. My oldest child was, I think she was 8, Robin. She just turned 50. And she'd gone out there with asthma. She'd almost died several times, the worst case of asthma they said they'd ever heard of. When she walked up on the porch of my buddy Steve Humphrey's house, she told him she had asthma. And he said, well, Robin, you're welcome in my house, but asthma's not welcome here. And when she walked across that threshold, she was healed. She never had it since then. All he says is asthma's not welcome here. Man of God. So all my kids, sorry about the thumb, all my kids saw me get locked up, saw me get handcuffed and put in the back of a squad car. There were like 10 squad, 10 unmarked cars there waiting for me to get back home from work. And so, I mean, I was put out to be a really, really bad guy. So anyway, I was in this cell, and I was in there for 3 days before all the light came to light. But those two guys that were in there, they heard the gospel for 3 days. I saw the lights come on. I don't know what happened. I know they faced justice, whatever it was, but the lights came on. They heard the gospel. What God, what the Lord, what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. You understand? Said everything that everywhere the enemies tried to destroy me, the Lord turned it around and still does. You know, and I just want to encourage you that there's more. Don't settle for where you are. I mean, most of you have grown up in church, maybe, not all of you, but some of you, most of you have grown up in a church, in a denominational thing where you just, this is it, you know, I got saved, or maybe I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and yeah, this is great. We go to worship. No, there's a lot more. He wants to reveal himself to you in depths that are amazing. There's more. To him who hath, more will be given, and in abundance. It says it right there. It's in his word. And he wanted you to have this word today. He wanted you to have it. To you, it has been given to know knowledge. He wants you to have revelation in his word. That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for you. I think I'm supposed to pray for you. Anybody has a question, though? Let me open it up for you. Anybody has a question? I see 34 things in chat. I don't know what that means. There's a question in there anywhere. No questions. No comments.
The chat is me, Robert, putting in scriptures and comments and everything. So
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I asked them, do they have any questions or prayer requests?
Okay.
And if nobody don't have any, then you can go ahead and close this out.
I'm gonna close it out. I'm gonna pray, but I got a word. I got a word for you, Ernestine, too. I'm gonna pray first, though.
Okay, Marjorie said, good word and thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, Marjorie. You just
It
received that
was a
from the
great word.
Lord. It's gonna help you. I was thinking about you, Marjorie. When I was doing this, I thought about you. I thought about you. A revelation of his word, you'll see healing manifest in you. He'll lead you and he'll guide you. I don't know how that's going to manifest for you. I don't know if it's just you and him, you and someone. I don't know. But he'll lead you, he'll guide you. So I'm going to pray. Okay, Papa, we love you so much. You're so good to us. You're so good. So amazing. Thank you so much for your great love, Lord. You care for us so much. Just want to encourage us to draw near to you, calling us to you, calling us deeper into you, to not settle. Not settle for much, much less than you have for us. Not to settle for much less than you paid for us, Lord. Settle, not to settle for less, but to come and dine with you, Lord. Come and dine with you. Come and be with you, Lord. Come and get to know you more. To know you. To know you. Lord, I just ask, Lord, that every heart would receive from you, Lord, as they go to your word, that your word would just be like oil on their heart, Lord. Be life to them. Life. Come alive. Father, speak blessing. Your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We are blessed. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, Ernestine, I told you I had a vision. I think it was must have been last week. I can't remember.
Robert, wait just a minute, please. I'm on. Stop the recording.